And I'll ask Brother Matt Neville to come forward and deliver to us the words of encouragement.
Thanks, Brother Josh, and good morning, my dear brothers and sisters and friends. We'll be in Paul's letter to the Philippians this morning, as well as his other letters, in relation to the theme of Thanksgiving, as we conveniently have this long weekend, this holiday weekend. I thought I'd take the opportunity to talk about Thanksgiving and use it as a bit of a reminder to all of us for those things that we should be truly thankful about. And the things that Brother Sean said this morning are pretty good lead-in into the exhortation as we consider all the things that are going on in the world and as we think about God's master plan that we look forward to. So in this part of the world, at least, we've been afforded some time to think about what we're thankful for. And to some, this weekend is just another long weekend, just another opportunity to have another day off from work or school. For others, they may devote some time to really looking at their lives and think about all the things that they have and the life circumstances that they're thankful for. And probably for a smaller number of people, they would attribute life's blessings to a higher power or God. And so we may do similarly this weekend and take some time to think about and be thankful for life's blessings and perhaps offer a special personal prayer when we have some quiet time alone. And I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. In fact, I think it's a good thing. But I think, brothers and sisters, that if we stop at this point, and this is all we do, it doesn't necessarily have to be this weekend, and certainly we shouldn't keep our Thanksgiving to one weekend a year. But I think if we stop and don't go further than this, then we are missing and possibly grievously missing the most profound reason to be thankful. So what are we thankful for? We may have similar or different things from one another that we're thankful for personally. And it's not my aim this morning to tell you what you personally should be thankful for or how or when you should give thanks to God. It is, however, my goal to identify what we all have in common that we should be encouraged to be thankful for. And specifically this morning, that points to the remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it that is common to us, that we share, that we all receive, that for which we should give abundant thanks? Of course, it is the gift from our Heavenly Father that He gave His only begotten Son so that we may have access to His mercy, forgiveness, and the gift of eternal life in His kingdom. And we remember and think about and dwell on and offer thanks for the life and death and resurrection of Christ this morning and every time we meet to remember Him in this way. So the giving of thanks in the letters of Paul, we'll take a look at how Paul gave thanks and what he gave thanks for in his letters. We'll begin in Philippians and chapter 1. And we'll see that his introductions to many or most of his letters are have this common thread in them. So Philippians 1, starting at verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God above upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul is thankful for the brothers and sisters in Philippi. And the fact that Paul always remembered the brothers and sisters in the Philippian ecclesia is an exhortation in itself. The Apostle Paul was an intense and consistent brother. Do we always remember in our personal prayers our brothers and sisters in need, both near and far? Do we always remember each other? Do we always remember our home ecclesia? I think if we took an honest look at ourselves, the answer would most likely be no. I know that I don't remember each of my brothers and sisters every time I pray. I think if we're not careful, aware, and focused, our personal prayers can become mostly about ourselves, maybe including some of our closer family and friends, and occasionally our prayers might be on behalf of other brothers and sisters when a case of need or something else is brought to our attention or triggers our memory. And so we won't go down this path any further this morning, as we'll stick with the theme of giving thanks. But this is an aspect from the life of the Apostle Paul that could be looked into much further, that Paul had an awareness and a concern for all the ecclesias and brothers and sisters that he met and knew of, and how this attribute shadows and echoes the care and concern and love of Jesus for all who belong to him. So we'll take a look at Paul's epistles, and we'll see, I think, this consistency in thankfulness in the introductions to his letters and in the content, both to ecclesias and to individual brethren. And we'll see a number of things Paul is thankful for and a number of reasons he is thankful for his fellow believers. So the first one then we'll go to is Romans chapter 1. And there are many, so we will look some of them up, and I will mention others. Romans 1, starting at verse 7, Romans 1, 7 to 9. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And so if Paul is thankful for and uplifted by the faith of the brothers and sisters in Rome. And there it is again. He always makes mention of them in his prayers. Next, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, starting at the beginning there in verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. So again, Paul is thankful for the grace of God present in this ecclesia. And again, always offering thanks. Philippians 1 verse 3, we already read that. Paul is thankful for his brothers and sisters there in Philippi, specifically thankful that he has brothers and sisters in Philippi. Ephesians 1 verse 15 to 16, we won't look this one up, but he gives thanks for the brothers and sisters in Ephesus because of their faith and love of all the saints. In his letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 3, it's got the same idea expressed in Colossae as in Ephesus. Paul gives thanks for those who have faith in Christ Jesus and who demonstrate love to all the saints. 1 Thessalonians, let's look at that one. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Chapter 1 and starting at verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So Paul is thankful for the Thessalonians. He's giving thanks for this ecclesia. And because of their, number one, work of faith, two, labor of love, and three, patience of hope. And just in the next chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so he gives thanks again for the receiving of the word, that they received it not as man's word, but as God's. Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, again, chapter 1, starting at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. So Paul is giving thanks that his brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, that they have a growing faith and abounding love, they have patience and an endurance of persecution and trial. We won't go there. But in his letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 1 to 5, it speaks of Paul being thankful specifically for Timothy and his faith, and also for his grandmother and mother. Again, this idea of remembering constantly in prayer comes out again. And in his letter to Philemon, the beginning verses 1 to 5, he gives thanks for Philemon and his love and faith. Again, always mentioning in prayer. And interestingly, to me anyway, the letter to the Galatians is left out. And I won't say anything more on that. And perhaps Brother Stephen will correct me if I'm wrong there, but I couldn't find a connection there with what we're talking about in the letter to the Galatians. So when you put it all together, and there's probably more that I've missed in all these letters, the list of things that Paul is thankful for in his fellow believers, his brothers and sisters in the faith, is incredible. It's encouraging. But personally, I also think to myself, how often do I express thankfulness for these attributes and characteristics found in my brothers and sisters, found in you here listening today? Paul offers thanks in prayer for his fellow believers in these several ecclesias because of their faith, the grace among them, the fact that he simply, the fact that he has brothers and sisters to visit and fellowship with. He's thankful again for faith and love toward the saints. He's thankful for their work of faith, their labor of love, their patience of hope. He's thankful for their receiving the word of God, for a growing, developing faith, for abounding love. He's thankful for their patience. He's thankful for their enduring persecution and tribulation. He's thankful for Timothy and Lois and Eunice and Philemon specifically. So Paul was thankful for many things, and we've mainly just looked at what he was thankful for in other people, the good qualities of his brothers and sisters. And I'm sure if we took the time, we could each come up with quite a list of things that we are thankful for too, and specifically a list of qualities and characteristics and aspects of service that we see at work in each other. So if we jump back into Philippians then, and at chapter 4, Paul mentions thanksgiving again near the end of his letter to the Philippian ecclesia in chapter 4 and starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So to me, there seems to be a connection in verses 6 and 7 between when prayer is offered or supplication made, with thanksgiving included in that prayer as a key part, that the peace of God can rest upon us and bring calm to our hearts and minds. The peace that comes to us through Jesus Christ's life and work. So let's ask this question, when and how is it appropriate to offer thanks? And it's a simple question. Giving of thanks or thankfulness, we could go to lots of different places in the scriptures, but we will go to a few places, actually a number of places in the Psalms, to answer this question. When and how is it appropriate to offer thanks? So again, we'll look a few of these up, and some of them I'll just mention. So the first one's in Psalm 18. And one of them actually was Brother Josh's opening reading, which was great, because then we don't have to look that one up. But it's a great Psalm 100. Psalm 18. And verses 48 and 49. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. So David is giving thanks for deliverance and safety. Psalm 26, verse 7, David is in thanksgiving, preferring the house of the Lord to the congregation of the vain, wicked, and evildoer. So putting a contrast there between these two places, the house of the Lord and the congregation of the evil. Psalm 30, verses 3 to 5, talks about giving thanks that God is holy and merciful. Psalm 35, we'll go to that one. Psalm 35, starting at verse 17. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. So offering of thanks in the presence of others, whether friend or foe. Psalm 69 verse 30 says, is talking about offering praise and thanksgiving to glorify God and not men. Psalm 79 verse 11 to 13 is talking about offering thanks in perpetuity and proclaiming so that others may see and hear. Psalm 92, let's go to that one. Psalm 92 verse 1 to 5. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. So offering thanks through song and music. Psalm 95 verse 1 to 6 is talking about offering thanks, recognizing the greatness and the saving hand and the creative power of Almighty God in our thanksgiving and praise. Psalm 100 we had read is recognizing that we would be nothing without God, entering the place of worship with thankfulness, and about entering the place of worship with thankfulness. Psalm 106, 107, 118, 136 are talking about offering thanks because God is good and his mercy is everlasting. Psalm 116 is talking about seeking and offering thanks to God from a low place in life and recognizing that our position is as lowly servants. Psalm 119 verse 61 to 63 is talking about rising at midnight to offer thanks. God is listening at all hours of the day and night, and perhaps we may feel moved at times to offer thanks for something God has done even when our sleep is disturbed. Psalm 122 is about offering thanks as a tribe or as a group. Psalm 147, let's go. This is our last psalm reference. Psalm 147 and verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And so Psalm 147 is talking about thanking and praising God when witnessing the wonders of his natural creation, recognizing that we cannot give God physical gifts, but that he desires our respect for him and our putting hope and trust in him. So a multitude of different places and scenarios when thanksgiving is made. So when is it appropriate to offer thanks to God or Heavenly Father? If it's done in the right spirit and with sincerity, then any time and for anything that he has blessed us with or done for us. So with the time that remains, we'll take a look at the giving of thanks or thankfulness in the life of Jesus and ask, what did he express thanks for and what did he command us? So I think the first one we'll skip over, but I'll mention it. It's from Luke 2, verse 36 to 40, and it's when Anna is in the temple. And so it's not Jesus speaking and it's not Jesus offering thanks. Jesus is the baby being brought to the temple. And in verse 38 there in Luke 2, we can quickly read over the fact that Anna gave thanks at that time. But it's interesting to think what this giving of thanks looked or sounded like. Remember, this was a widow who had been diligent in her service for 84 years, watching and waiting for the appearance of this child of man, this son of God. As a few individuals recognize the significance of this baby. Let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so it's important that we leave behind the wisdom and prudence of this world when we receive the word of God, when we look to have God's principles revealed to us, so that we may learn and receive the wisdom that he provides and nurtures within us, and that we might be together yoked with Jesus. Let's go over to John 11. John 11 and verse 41 to 43. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And so at this time of the raising of Lazarus, Jesus is thankful that his Father hears him and responds. And because the Father hears his Son, Lazarus is able to hear the call of Jesus and rise to life again and exit the tomb. Surely it would have been vital to Jesus that he could communicate with his Father and receive response, as Jesus could only find so much comfort and understanding with his disciples and friends, knowing that the day would soon come when all people would desert him. And so again, a couple more in Mark that I'll just mention. Mark 8, verse 6 says, And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And have you ever wondered what Jesus said when he gave thanks on this specific occasion? Was it thanks just for the bread? Was it a giving of thanks on behalf of the thousands of people who ate and were filled? Was he thankful for the opportunity to work a miracle and glorify God in the process? Was it all of the above and more? Again, in Mark 14, verse 23 and 24, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Similarly here in the upper room, Have you ever wondered what specifically Jesus said in giving thanks? Was he thankful for the opportunity to instruct his disciples how they should remember him? Was he thankful that many would receive forgiveness of their sins because of his shed blood, even though he would need to endure an unspeakably painful process? Was it because of both of these answers and more? And so as we, brothers and sisters, prepare to partake of these emblems of bread and wine together and offer thanks for them and meditate on the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord, examining ourselves in the light of his perfect life and sacrifice, for which we should be continually and eternally thankful, I'd just like to finish with reading a few verses from the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.